thankful for another opportunity to be together today. And we started a little thought last Sunday night about in spite of or because of, I'm going to erase part of that for today. I'd just like to talk about the subject of being, or the phrase, in spite of. In spite of. It's a definition of that phrase is without being affected by the particular factor mentioned, or in spite of the weather, whatever. Maybe something got accomplished in spite of the weather. Sometimes it's in spite of the amount of resistance to what you're trying to accomplish. Maybe it's in spite of because someone told you you couldn't. Maybe it's in spite of your ethnic background. Maybe it's in spite of your station in life, whether you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, so to speak, or you were born into a family that was destitute. In spite of whatever it is, the definition of the phrase is without being affected by the particular factor mentioned. In spite of is a phrase that is not in the scripture. I couldn't find it anywhere. And the word spite is not in the scripture either. But I do believe that we have quite a number, if not many, examples in the scripture of individuals that were successful, and consequently we look on them as, you might say, heroes, because in spite of the things that happened to them, they were successful in their walk with the Lord. So that's how we're going to approach this. And every time I look into the story of Joseph, I always ask myself, why don't we talk more about Joseph? Joseph was a man that, in spite of the things that happened to him, he was able to rise above that. And we'll find in Genesis, the 37th chapter, we'll turn there. Genesis chapter 37, and we'll start reading some of the story. We're not going to read a lot of it, but I'd like to read the first 11 verses and give us a little setting, or kind of set the tone a little bit, you might say. Genesis 37, verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father had loved him more, their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. So let's just stop there a moment. We know that Joseph was one of 12 brethren, and that Israel, or Jacob, his father, had sons by four different women, four different wives, if you will. And it was a contentious home at the best, even before there was any kind of favoritism shown. But it says Joseph was 17 here at the setting, and 17 years old, I remember being 17. most of us here could say you remember 17. And no matter how much of an adult we thought we were at 17, we were very much impacted by the circumstances and our environment around us. And we could be influenced fairly readily. But it says here that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. So that's that silver spoon we were talking about. You know, it's so easy if you realize that you're the favored person or that you have advantages that someone else does. You know, that can be a detriment, just like not having anything. That can set you up for disaster about as quick as being born with absolutely nothing or having nothing in life. But in spite of that, we're going to see something about Joseph's character that held, there was an even keel about his character that in spite of being favored, it goes on to say that Joseph made him a coat of many colors. And the thing I thought of when I think of quite regularly when someone reads that verse is my mother and her mother and a lot of people that I have known that of the older generation would take a lot of their scrap clothing, the things that maybe had got torn or stained in some spot, and they would cut it up into small pieces and end up making a quilt out of it. That's pretty common. I mean, especially in the Depression era, they made things out of those little strips of material. And so I thought, I wonder if Joseph's coat was made out of scraps. I don't think it was. I think this coat of many colors was made. The various colors depicted something about finery. Today, you know, there's times that plaids and stripes and stuff are in fashion or in vogue and all of that. But at this time in history, a coat of many colors signified an esteemed place. It was a privilege to have a coat of many colors. And we find that it says when his brethren, verse 4, when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, what kind of setting is that? If you can't speak peaceably, have you ever been in one of those situations where it didn't matter how many times you said please or thank you, the person that you were trying to communicate just snapped at you all of the time? You ever been like that? You ever been in a situation like that? This is not very conducive to being keeping it even. You know what it's like. If somebody snaps at you, it's pretty easy to snap back. That's human. And I was talking to one of my neighbors just this week, and he had been in a situation. He went in to have some tests done, and he spent all day there, and he was tired of all of the things that was happening and all of that. And somebody said to him something to him a little snappy, and he said, "I just snapped right back." And then they threatened to put him in the in for mental evaluation and lock him down for. But he just, you know, it's pretty easy for us that instead of approaching it from the perspective that Joseph did, and he kept an even keel about his character in spite of, on one hand, being the preferred son, and on the other hand, everybody snapping at him. They couldn't even speak peaceably to him. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. So it intensified. Bayon couldn't even speak peaceably to him. Now I believe there was open hostility in this home. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. I think to some extent Joseph was oblivious that telling the dream would cause this kind of ruckus. And yet, through it all, and his brothers showing hostility toward him, he kept an even keel about his spirit. And he dreamed a yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So we got a situation where Joseph was treated special, and his father gave him a special coat. Ten of his brothers couldn't hardly speak peaceably to him. He could have been sent out to tell them that dinner was ready, and they would have growled at him. He could have been sent out to tell them that they could take a break, and he was going to watch the flocks, and they would have had something snarly to say to him. Don't let the wolves in, or just, it was just constant. And then he had some dreams, and through all of this, it seems like, as we go forward, we'll see that Joseph had an even keel about his spirit. And he was 17 at this time. In Genesis 37, in verse 28, his father had sent him out to check on his brothers. From the setting we were reading, his brothers were out watching over his flocks. His father's flocks, and as he went out there, his father sent him to check on them. Now, you just stop and think about it. If you had 10 brothers all older than you, and they all couldn't hardly speak a civil word to you, and they didn't like your dreams, and they knew that you were special because their dad had made him his special coat. In spite of all of that, Joseph was willing to go and check on him. And he got out there, and we know the story. They said, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. He's a thorn in our side. And we know how the story materialized. Joseph was sold into slavery. Verse 28, he got thrown in a pit. Then they come by, not all of them together, but the majority of them came and pulled him out. Verse 28 says, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So, have you ever felt like life was coming apart at the seams, so to speak? One hand looked like you were the favorite employee or the favorite child or the favorite person in someone's life, and then you come to find out that everybody was against you. And then those people that were against you took advantage of you. What would have been reasonable for Joseph to do at this point in his life when he'd been sold into slavery? What do we sometimes think is the most reasonable thing to do when everything seems to be going against us? What's that? Sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes we want to say, what's the use? I'm sold in as a slave to a foreign country. My father, I think Joseph was smart enough to know that his father probably wouldn't get the true story out of this. Why would his brothers tell him the truth? I know that sometimes we can feel that everything is against us. And I know that Joseph had to feel that. He was human just like me. It had to affect him when his brothers couldn't speak peaceably to him, when they were angry with him, when they caught him and tore off his coat and throwed him in that pit that he couldn't climb out of, a well or whatever it was. You know it affected him just like it would affect us. And to know that your own brothers had done this to you, I believe Joseph was impacted. But we don't find that Joseph, we have to read between the lines, but we don't find that Joseph took that course of action. In fact, he took a different course of action. Let's look down a little further. In the 39th chapter, we find where he landed was in Potiphar's house. You all know that story. I'll begin reading in the first verse here. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass that from that time he made him overseer in his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, is there any logical reason why Joseph would have tried? I don't think there is. If the story of Joseph would have ended with him being down in the mouth and saying, woe is me, and all of my opportunity has been dispersed and taken away from me, and all of those dreams and all of that stuff, it must have just been rubbish. It must have been just an imagination. And here I am, a slave, not a favored son, but a slave now. And I'm under this level of persecution and opposition. Don't you think he could have got snappy? Couldn't he have said to Potiphar, I'm the favored son of Israel, and you want me to do that? He could have said that. It could have went from bad to worse, to where Potiphar could have put him back on the market and sold him to somebody else. Potiphar could have put him in prison. He might have beat him. He might have been executed for being disobedient. There could have been a lot of things that it could have went down to. But instead of all of that, in spite of all of the negative things that happened to Joseph, we find, reading between the lines, I think Joseph went out of his way to be helpful. He applied himself. He used his intellect, his training that his father had favored him with. He used the abilities that God had blessed him with, and he applied it, put it in practice for someone that owned him. He had no chance of being the owner himself. He was a slave. He was under bondage. He was not able, but in spite of all of that, he kept trying. He kept the right attitude. He said, wherever I'm at, I'm going to do the very best I can. I believe that's in between all the lines. And what happened is God blessed his efforts. God blessed his situation. It looked like that he was going to be go into oblivion, right? His father didn't know where he went. His brothers didn't know where. They just know they got rid of him. They didn't have a clue where these Ishmaelites and Midianites, whichever one they were, they called two different things here. They didn't know where they was going. They didn't know where they sold him. There was no track record. There was no tracking device. There was no way for them to know where Joseph went and what happened to them. The only thing the brothers was left with after their anger subsided was guilt that they had sold their brother into slavery. And here he was in this Egyptian's house, and he began to do what he could do to make things better around him. And the Lord blessed him, blessed the Egyptian for him. And then what happened? It says in verse 7, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.'" Temptation was presented. Joseph, in the face of all of that, he had his eye on something besides capitalizing on his circumstances. This is much bigger than the Lord just blessing him and giving him an opportunity. Joseph had integrity. His character was true through and through, top to bottom. And he didn't yield. And we know what happened. He was falsely accused. And in verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. All right? Favored son, hated by his brethren, sold into slavery, gets over there in his slave master's residence, and he began to do what his hand found to do. He done the right thing for the right reason. Not because he was favored now, but because there was something about him that wouldn't let him do less than that. In spite of all of it, Joseph did what God would have him to do. And the Lord blessed him, and he rose to a place of respect, a place of favor, if you will, admiration. People were looking on him, envious of him, to the point that they laid a temptation for him. And at the point of temptation, Joseph was true. In spite of the temptation, Joseph held true. And then, because of false accusation, he was thrown into prison. And prison at that time in the world was not like our prisons. I believe this prison was dark. It was dirty. It wasn't comfortable. I don't believe there was abundance of food. There was no gymnasium to go and exercise. There was no entertainment. It was misery. It was a prison. And there are things that happen to us in life that sometimes feels like it's a prison. It feels like we're locked up. Maybe not physically with a locked door, but sometimes we're locked into situations where we feel like there's no escape. And that's where Joseph was. But what do you think he did? In spite of being going from a place of admiration and being cast into prison, in spite of all of that, Joseph was still Joseph-like. He stood true. He did what he could to make those around him have a little better, a better existence. I wonder how many times maybe there was an older prisoner in there that Joseph said, "Here, let me help you with that." I wonder how many times he said, I wouldn't rebel against the instructions of the guard here, that it'll just make it harder on us. I wonder how many times he encouraged those. I wonder how many times he listened to people's stories. Verse 22 says, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." He became the administrator in the prison. Because Joseph began to work with those people in there, listen to their stories. Maybe you prayed with them. I don't know. I believe he prayed for them at minimum. Joseph was a bright light in a dark place. In spite of being cast down and thrown into prison, in spite of it, Joseph rose to a place of trust and confidence in the prison. Why and how could he do that after he'd been hated, mocked, thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, falsely accused, and it goes on and on? How could he do that? In spite of all of that, the Lord helped him. And Joseph stood true to something of a much higher calling than just looking out for old number one, for self-gratification. In the 40th chapter, in the 8th verse, we find here that he listened to a couple men that were thrown in, and they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And I believe he prayed about them. Joseph had a connection with the Lord. And in spite of all that came against him, he still kept that connection. In spite of whatever happens to me, if we will keep that connection with the Lord, I believe it'll help us through whatever we're facing today. I don't know if you've got snippy people talking to you. I don't know if you feel like you're working with people that hate you. I've been in those situations. I've been in those places where I felt like there was somebody that would like to sabotage what I was doing on the job. I've been in those places where I felt like I was cohabitating, not at home, but in the workforce. I felt like I've been cohabitating with people that were like his brothers. They were trying to do me harm instead of good. But if we'll keep our spirits right with the Lord, that's how we're going to get through all of this. So they told him his story, and he gave them an interpretation, and what the interpretation planned out, it was true. It was right. One of them got restored to their place. And later on, we'll read that a little bit. Verse 16. Says, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three... that's not where I want to read. I want to read the next chapter, 41 and 16. And Joseph answered, the verse 1 of this chapter is, it came to pass at the end of 2 years, 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river. Have you ever been promised something and you were forgotten for 2 years? Joseph was. They told him, if I get restored back to Pharaoh, Joseph said, remember me down here. Put in a good word for me. I'd like to be out of this prison. Wouldn't you like to be out of prison? I wouldn't want to be in prison. I'd want somebody to say, hey, there's a man down there that's really not worthy of being in prison. I think we need to find a job for him outside of the prison. He needs to be rescued out of there. Joseph said, would you put a word in for me? 2 years later, oh, there's a dream now. Oh, you know, there's this man that was down there. There's a Hebrew servant, Hebrew slave down there. He might be able to help us now if he still has his connection with God. In spite of being forgotten for 2 years. You know, I thought 2 weeks was a long time for my wife to say yes to get married. But 2 years, in spite of being left and forgotten for 2 years, Joseph was still Joseph. In the 14th or 16th verse, and Joseph answered, they brought him out, told him what something about it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me to answer your, to interpret your dreams. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's not in me, but it's my connection with the Lord. You see how that over and over again, in spite of all of the calamities that happened to Joseph, what it came down to, it was his connection with the Lord that stabilized him. And it's our connection with the Lord that's going to keep us stable. When the things start crashing in around us and we don't see any way out and it doesn't look like any hope, any possibility, there's just nothing that seems to be going the right way at all. In fact, everything seems to be going wrong. But in spite of that, if we will keep our integrity with the Lord, there's going to be a way out. There's going to be a way through. There's going to be a place to put our foot next. So, he said, it's the Lord. And we know how this turned out. With God's help, he is able to interpret the dream. And ultimately, he was promoted to be a ruler in Egypt. And the end of that was the dreams he had as a young boy came true. His brothers came and bowed down to him first. And they didn't know who they were bowing down to. And Joseph was in a place he could have paid them back. He could have paid them back. But because he was Joseph, in spite of the temptation, you know how tempting? The brothers would have never known what hit them. He knew them. He recognized them. But they didn't recognize him. In spite of the opportunity to do wrong, to do evil to someone, Joseph didn't. Joseph was still Joseph because he still had a connection with the Lord. So I want to challenge us today. Whatever life has pulled out from under you, whatever is tumbling in, whatever is, in spite of all of that, we can be a Joseph in our situation. In spite of the things that's said to us, in spite of the things that we feel, the pain we feel, maybe it's emotional pain, maybe it's physical pain, maybe it's accusations, maybe it's false accusations. Joseph had it all. He had those false accusations. He had the neglect. He had the abuse. He knew what it was like to be forgotten, completely forgotten. And yet, because he kept his avenue open to the Lord, he was able to stand true. And God brought him through, brought him to the place. Not only did his brothers, but his father came and humbled himself before him too. So much can be said about Joseph's character. In spite of everything, in spite of, what did we say the definition of in spite of was? Not without being affected by the particular factor mentioned. In spite of being favored, in spite of being spoken sharply to, in spite of being hated, in spite of being enslaved, in spite of being elevated as a slave, in spite of being falsely accused, in spite of being thrown into prison, in spite of being forgotten in prison, in spite of all of this tide of emotion surging up and down and all of that, in spite of all of that, Joseph stood true. His integrity, his character was above reproach throughout all of his life. There's so much more that could be said about Joseph. You know that Joseph ended up, his wife that Pharaoh gave him was a daughter of a pagan priest. And yet, in spite of all of that, Joseph taught his children how to serve the Lord that he had served. And he kept his bearing, his moral compass, right in the midst of that. And I'm going to tell you, that's a big in spite of. And he did it. He kept his integrity with the Lord. And he got down to the end of his life and he said, listen, when I'm gone, if you get an opportunity to go back to the homeland, take my bones with you. Don't leave me down here. I don't want to be left in this foreign land. Take me back and bury my bones back there in our homeland. Joseph's integrity was above reproach. And folks, we can make it. I don't know, you know, the older we get, the more calamities we see around us and the more troubles and the more problems and all of those things. But I want us to know if we'll keep our soul right with the Lord, He'll see us through. If we'll be like the psalmist said over there in Psalms 139, we'll turn there and read that real quickly. Psalms 139, he says, search me, last couple verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me and lead me in the way everlasting, an everlasting way. We want something that lasts throughout eternity, don't we? I do. I don't want to get up to the threshold of eternity and realize I don't have something that's going to last, that's going to be stable. But he says, the psalmist said, search me. Lord, help me to have the same character, the same type of character that Joseph had. I may not be forced into slavery. I may not be elevated to be a ruler over people. I may not have all of my siblings against me, but we might have some of them. You might have some of your siblings that won't talk to you, that won't talk nice to you. You may have some people that seems like they're plotting against you. We all have some of that to deal with. I may have some discomfort. I may be forgotten by my friends. I may be forgotten by my relatives. I may be passed over in the working world. The Lord knows all about that. He says, "Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me." What do you think the psalmist's intent with asking that? Lord, if you see something in me that's kind of wicked. Just ignore it. You think that's what he meant? I think he was saying, Lord, if you see something in me that you don't like, reveal it to me. Help me know what it is. I want to change that. I want to be more Joseph-like. I want to be in a place that you can lead me into a way everlasting. And folks, my burden this morning is that we would all continually ask the Lord to search us, see if there's something in us that don't line up with what he wants. And if there is, Lord, help me to know how to fix it. I want to be more Joseph-like. I want to be on the path to the place of life everlasting, a way everlasting. And I want to do that by your grace and by your strength. Help me, Lord, to be that way. If we can be more Joseph-like, in spite of everything that's going on around us, I believe that we will have found success. Joseph is a man that the scripture never says, in spite of all of this, Joseph kept his integrity. Don't say that, but I believe we can say that. In spite of everything that happened to Joseph, Joseph kept his integrity with the Lord, and he's one of my heroes. He's one of those that I read and I say, Lord, help me to be more like Joseph. You pray for me.